The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, the US's $3 billion battery plan, the Renault 5 EV Super Mini, and China's rising sales in Europe. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you why NIO denied their interest in building EVs over here. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Sunday, 22nd of September. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And welcome to a new podcast partner, Bob Boothby. Now, Bob, my friend, I've known Bob for such a long time, met his family down in Devon, not too far from me. Well, not as the crow flies, a bit of a windy country road to get there. And Bob said he wants to support the podcast, whether that's, you know, for a month or 2 months or longer, I don't know. But he said, hey, don't worry about saying thank you. Well, of course, but I have to say thank you, Bob, because to be a partner of the show, that's such a big investment and really appreciate it. And you too can be like Bob by clicking on a link in the show notes and support the work that I do here and get some benefits like the podcast being ad-free on your Patreon feed. Now, huge news on Friday this week, the Biden administration announced a $3 billion investment aimed at enhancing domestic production of advanced batteries and materials essential for EVs. This initiative is part of a broader strategy to diminish China's influence in the global battery manufacturing industry. The funding will support 25 projects in 14 states in Michigan, North Carolina, Texas, Ohio, South Carolina, Louisiana, and more. The funding represents the second phase of EV battery financing under the bipartisan infrastructure law in 2021, following an earlier allocation of $1.8 billion for 14 projects that are currently in progress. The current funding figures are lower than previously indicated because some of those projects were withdrawn or rejected. The funding is a critical component of Biden and VP Harris's strategy to accelerate the production and sales of EVs, which they view as vital for defending against the Chinese influx. And well, look, we're seeing it in Europe. I got a big story coming later about how well the Chinese names are doing, and the US are prepared to put a bunch of money into making sure that the US has a domestic auto industry, which these days does include battery supply chains. The awards will assist companies involved in processing battery materials like lithium and graphite and those manufacturing them. White House economic advisor Lyle Brainard emphasized today the importance of the awards, saying that they advance the objective of establishing a comprehensive supply chain for batteries and minerals in the US. Also, relating to recycling and those things that mitigate China's increasing dominance in the area. He highlighted that nearly $35 billion has now been invested in enhancing the domestic mineral and battery supply chains, everything from lithium mines in Nevada and North Carolina to battery manufacturing in Michigan and Ohio, and noting that the administration's efforts have mobilized over $100 billion in private sector investment. With China controlling a significant proportion of the market for processing EV materials, the US have implemented targeted measures against what they see as unfair practices, including imposing higher tariffs on Chinese imports of things like graphite. The administration also encouraging domestic sourcing for EVs under the climate law from 2022, which restricted products from China and other areas of, well, entities, wasn't it? Foreign entities of concern was the phrase. I'm racking my brains for what they called them. Now, the Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm reiterated that the commitment to manufacturing batteries in the US, stating that if the announced awards do get finalized, they'll create 8,000 well-paid construction jobs, 4,000 permanent positions. Companies receiving the grants will be expected to match the funding on a 50-50 basis, with a minimum of $50 million required for each project. Huge news today. More big investment being allocated in the US to be a battery processing and production powerhouse in the future. So let's move on. And following on from yesterday's story, which is Audi Brussels looking at ending the Q8 e-tron production sometime next year. And what do we do with 3,000 employees in the factory, which they're talking about closing, but they'd rather sell it. NIO, in a business publication, claimed had been looking around the facility, had a tour of it already, and were tabling an offer. NIO, today, clarifying it does not intend to acquire the Audi manufacturing facility in Brussels. William Lee, the founder and CEO, stepping in to say that they are being very cautious with investments in fixed assets. They're focused on battery swap stations. He addressed the speculation and said, how could NIO afford a factory that even Audi can't afford? These rumours are groundless. The rumours originated from, like I say, Belgian business media outlet reporting, which mentioned NIO as the candidate to take over the Audi Brussels plant. The report indicated that they were going to table an offer because Volkswagen, the parent company of Audi, looking like they will opt to cease car production after the Q8 e-tron programme is completed next year. 2,910 employees specifically. There's an urgency to find a buyer for that plant. Now, the European car sector is urging politicians to listen because they want immediate measures to address the drop in EV sales that happened last month in August. Recent reports I've told you about yesterday on this podcast. If you haven't heard Saturday's edition yet, then we go into it in depth with the EV sales falling in line in some countries with the overall car market. The whole car market was down by 20% in Europe. Some countries, Germany, pointing fingers at you, down even more. And in some countries, EVs have done better. Some countries, they've fallen more sharply. There was a decrease of 43.9% last month in August of EV, pure BEV sales, compared to August last year. That decline has raised some alarms. Industry leaders are advocating for the prompt reintroduction of incentives to stimulate demand. Car makers are talking about the need to coordinate the approach across all EU member states so there's a consistent policy of pushing EVs. And without these incentives, there's a risk of stagnation. The ACEA, that's the industry body, pointing out that while battery electric vehicles still hold a significant market share, they are concerned by the trend. Now, the decline in sales could hinder the EU's target of achieving that 55% reduction in carbon emissions by the end of the decade. So, who did well and who didn't? Well, here's a story. In August last month, Germany had a decline in EV sales that pulled down the rest of the region. EV sales in Germany last month were down 69%. Now, that is both both speaks to how well they did a year ago because of the incentives being pulled suddenly and how poorly they did this year. In numerical terms, Germany's EV registrations were about 10,500 units, down from about 33,500 units same month last year. The sharp drop had contributed to a decline of sales across Europe once that gets lumped in. If you pull Germany out, things aren't looking so bad. The slowdown, though, in sales can be linked to other things like rising interest rates, high inflation, the overall economic environment, as well as Germany pulling their incentives. Despite the downturn, the overall market share of EVs in Germany last month in August, because it's understandable that the mainstream press, that, well, even the EV press, the good ones that tell you both the good and the bad, or just the reality of the current situation, pointing out that, yeah, that 69% down number is a terrible headline, and obviously it leads to shock plummet, EVs fall off a cliff, no one's buying EVs. The market share of EVs in Germany was so much better last August. The numbers were always going to struggle this August, and if you look at the August share, it's 20.6%. Now, I don't think that's too bad for what is Europe's biggest car market that's gone through turmoil and turbulence. Clearly, the drop is not good, but it's still 20% of new car registrations were BEVs. Well, I'll take a fifth of new cars being EVs. We're so short into this EV journey that we're all going to go on. I mean, we've barely started. And for a fifth of new registrations in Germany to be EV, I think that's a huge number. But clearly, such a big decrease in the same time last year has led to, I would say, quite a lot of fever in the mainstream press declaring this is the end of the electric vehicle experiment. Okay. Ask China how that's going. Let's do one more story before we take a break, and then we'll come back. Let's talk about the Renault 5 Super Mini. The Renault 5 Super Mini set for launch in the UK. It's been seen testing, so we know that customer deliveries will start in the upcoming months. It's going to be up against really cool little EVs. If you want to spend a little bit more money but get something that's got a bit more personality, that stands out a little bit more, you know, I'm talking, you know, the Mini Cooper E, the Fiat 500e, the Honda E when it was still on sale. The Renault 5 Super Mini is the retro-styled EV from Renault. The first of them, actually, is going to be more. The Renault 4 will be introduced soon on the similar technical framework, but with a higher and wider stance. It's going to be more of a compact crossover. And the production version of the Renault 5 was unveiled at the Geneva Motor Show earlier this year. Staying true to its concept back in 2021. The model part of Renogy's. The model is part of Renault's strategy to maintain its presence in the small car market. We're talking €25,000 and above. The pricing positions it as one of the more affordable EVs. The Renault 5 uses a new EV platform, which has been renamed. It's now called the Amper Small. A-M-P-R. Okay. AMPR, Amper, I guess I say, the Amper Small platform. Formerly, it was called the CMF BEV platform, so equally as catchy. Sharing its parts with the Nissan Juke and the Renault Clio, which does reduce the development costs by 30% and it speeds up the development time. The new motors have a new lightweight inverters that reduces the mass by 15 kilograms and they make them smaller as well. NMC cells, not LFP on this. They're using prismatic cells in this. 40 kilowatt hour is the small pack, but they've managed to get the weight down to 240 kilograms, and that's a real achievement. The big 52 kilowatt hour pack, and again, not particularly big by today's standards, but the 52 kilowatt hour pack is the larger one, is going to total 300 kilograms. So in total, it will weigh, with the small pack, 1,372 kilograms. That is a lot less than if you go back and look at the original Zoe. We had one of those, 22 kilowatt hour battery pack, little baby battery pack, and it was still weighing a lot more than the current Renault 5. And so with its larger battery pack, it'll still be less than 1,500 kilograms, less than a Peugeot E208. The engineers at Renault should be really optimistic about what they've done and really pleased with weight savings as well, because, again, that is better efficiency, better handling. Both battery options will be available here in the UK. The smaller battery, 186 miles. That's about right for a 40 kilowatt hour battery on a small car. And the 52 kilowatt hour battery, 250 miles. So, again, that's all pretty much in line with, you know, the outgoing Renault Zoe. The battery charge speed is going to need to be tested, because the headline figures we were given, small battery, 80 kilowatt peak, big battery, which is 52 kilowatt hours, 100 kilowatt peak. And that seems a little slow. 11 kilowatt AC onboard charging, but still. Is that DC big number? I guess if you're using these as urban runaround that are mostly charged overnight, then you're not DC fast charging them on road trips. We'll wait and see. All right, then we will take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about what the Fisker disaster did to one of their close partners in the industry, and how Volkswagen want to charge up fleet. Stick around, back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now let's talk about Fiat Professional unveiling the Fiat E-Ducato cargo box at the IAA show earlier this week. Availability from next month in October, transforming the electric transporter into an electric box van or a box truck, marking the initial offering in a series of conversion options under their new custom fit program. The E-Ducato cargo box or cargo truck has an over 18 cubic meter capacity, interior dimensions of 4.2 meters long, 2 meters wide, 2.1 meters high, and producing an output of 200 kilowatts on the motor from 110 kilowatt hour battery. There's even going to be an additional L4 configuration with over 20 cubic meters of cargo space. The E-Ducato, like I say, introduced this month, and they also talked about some hydrogen stuff as well, which is, I guess, mildly interesting if you're into those kind of things, but you can't fill them up anywhere, so it's nice you've got one, no point buying one. Now let's talk about how the Fisker disaster has caused some real problems at one of their key partners, Magna. Now, Magna Powertrain are going to have to eliminate 200 jobs at their Austrian facility because of a decline in order volumes. In other words, the Fisker disaster has really hit Magna. And from what it seems, and this is actually Magna senior management on the record talking about this, they're going to do their operate their business differently in the future, because I'm not saying it was all done on trust, but the way the contracts with Fisker were written, I can say a lot was done on trust, left Magna quite exposed. And so because of the electric motor production intended for Fisker no longer being needed because they went insolvent, then it's really impacted Magna. The plant has historically focused on manufacturing transmissions and all-wheel drive systems, a key site for the Fisker project. But with all of their financial troubles, the facility will have to lay off workers. The facility also makes electric motors for the Mercedes-Benz G-Class, but that's not going to be a massive seller. But at least they're doing that work. That vehicle will be assembled. Now, Magna Steyr in Graz has always assembled the G-Wagon, and they will do the electric version as well. But there's no additional orders on the horizon from other car makers. Now, at the IAA show this week, that's the commercial event in Hanover, Volkswagen Group's charging brand Elli, E-L-L-I. Elli showcased the integration of charging services into their fleet management software. Now, Ford do this with Ford Pro and all of their stuff. VW have their own tools. The Connect Pro fleet management. And that's really important because you need to integrate things like how to charge the vehicles, especially if your vehicles are being driven, you know, the drivers, you know, don't own the business. You know, you need charge cards. You need to make sure they're charged as and when they need to be at the right prices as well, whether it's a company car or a company van. You need to oversee the infrastructure as well, plan it, construct it, install it, AC, DC, and that's what VW are spending a lot of time working on with their commercial partners. The company unveiled their new Elli Charger 2, a new generation of charger for business clients. It's made in Germany, and it has smart charging technology, features like solar surplus charging. That's very common in chargers these days. Also, price optimized charging so that your vehicle will wait until it gets a price signal that it's cheaper. It's going to be available in 28 European countries. And they also provide hardware, not only from their own themselves, the Elli Charger and the Elli Flexpole, but from third-party vendors as well. That Flexpole that I mentioned, by the way, allows the installation of in locations with limited power grid capacity without expensive upgrades. It's supporting fast charging speeds up to 150 kilowatts are on a vehicle thanks to the integrated battery system, and I think that's all being wrapped up in what used to be called Volkswagen components and There was a, if you find some of those EV chargers scattered around that have got the batteries inside, and have a look on the little nameplate on the back or the boilerplate text on the back, that might say Volkswagen Commercial or Volkswagen Components. I think that's all being wrapped up into this Elli brand now as well. So you might see more of that, depending on where and when you go and charging. Now, let's talk about how well the Chinese brands are doing in Europe. Chery have a brand called Omoda. Now, the Chery Omoda brand has shown big growth in the European car market last month in August. Over 1,000 of them were sold, and that propelled it up the best-selling list in Europe, up to 37 now. So I know it seems like, you know, it's not exactly in the top five, but it's now a reasonably decent player in the European car market. BYD, of course, is a different beast. BYD had more big growth last month in August. That's now 30th, up from 34th, increasing their sales by 12%. That's 3,100 vehicles or so, almost, because of the Seal and the Dolphin vehicles as well. MG is a brand owned by SAIC. They went down a bit, 22nd place in the market. They've been doing very well. They do very well in the UK, for instance. But the big brands that had big growth were the ones like Omoda, Zeekr, Voyage, Hongqi. These are all the Chinese brands, aren't they? The ones that look, that had the biggest drops? Volkswagen, Porsche, Ford, Kia, Hyundai. All right. I've been saying this, how long have I been doing this podcast? 5 years? I don't know, 2018? Maybe more. And the Chinese are coming. Like, there's no denying it. And I think more and more people have realised that over the years. Some people say, oh, you talk about the Chinese cars too much. Or, you know, you're supporting what is a very, very dubious regime and all those kind of things. Like, I don't want to get into the politics of it. I'm just saying that every data point I look at tells me that by 2030, you're probably going to be driving a car, or you're going to, you know, your neighbours are going to have a car. Every chance that you might be Chinese rather than one of the established makers at the minute. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I've just been banging that drum for a long time to say, hey, here's a trend. It's been happening a long time. No one realizes apart from you because you listen to this podcast. Now let's talk about how the new Mercedes-Benz eCitaro is going to hopefully answer the need for some of those organizations that need narrow, winding, suburban routes. The eCitaro K is a new introduction based on the eCitaro. Now, the eCitaro K caters to operations with fewer passengers as well. It's a shorter vehicle because I think the eCitaro is like 12, or then there's the G model, which is 18 meters long. This is just 10 meters long. So a compact design, but there are many buses that need to be more compact buses. You don't often need, you know, a massive bus flying around a small urban center, either because of passenger numbers on those buses, or just physically the size of the roads. It's got a 4.3 meter wheelbase. It's about 1.5 meters shorter than the eCitaro, but it can still have either four or six of the big battery modules, up to almost 600 kilowatt hours of battery. So loads of range, you know, well over 300 kilometers of range, with either two or three door configuration. And again, for those customers that need a more compact vehicle, Mercedes-Benz or, you know, Daimler buses catering now to this market as well. They also have mirrors for cameras, which replaces the traditional exterior mirrors. That enhances the driver's field of vision considerably, by the way. Rear visibility at night with night vision cameras and all these things that are coming with EV buses. Really interesting. And finally, let's talk about XPeng. XPeng just had a big milestone. They reached 500,000 vehicles produced. So congratulations to them. A significant milestone. It's also the 10,000th unit of the Mona 03, which is awfully convenient, isn't it? It wasn't out by just one or two. Hey, we've made our 500,000th vehicle, and it happens to be the 10,000th vehicle of our brand new vehicle that we're looking for lots of publicity around. So it's amazing how these things line up sometimes. Not that I'm cynical about any of these things, but oh, what a convenient coincidence that was, that it was the 10,000th Mona 03. 3 that was also produced just 20 days after its launch, a record in Chinese automotive competitors as well. Back in August, XPeng delivered 14,000 vehicles, as reported by CNEV Posts. The Mona 03 is an EV sedan launched at the end of August last month, starting at $17,000 equivalent, the most affordable XPeng in the lineup, half the cost of an equivalent Model 3 in China, selling really well, delivering to great reviews, and the fastest selling new model in XPeng's history. And that's your podcast for today and the week. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, Octopus, Electroverse, Global Public Charging made simple with one app and one map. And thank you for listening as always. Have a good and see you soon. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.